You're live with The App Show. I'm your host, Mike Agarbo. I got my good friend, Gray Williams, in with me today to co-host. Gray is a tech journalist for many years, appearing not only on our program, but also on many news outlets, including the CBC as well. We've got some fun stuff to talk about today. Our show is about the world of apps and mobile technology. And we try to keep it fun and friendly and kind of demystify some of the stuff. And also kind of give you some ways to take advantage of the app worlds more. One of the topics we're going to cover today is Amazon Prime. And I know so many people that have Amazon Prime. And, you know, it's typically, I forget how much it is, $8 a month or something in Canada?
$100 a year?
Somewhere up there.
Yeah.
Anyway, people get it because they get free shipping.
Yes.
Amazon's one of the biggest e-commerce sites in the world. I buy a truckload of stuff there because I can get it the next day.
Yeah.
I want toilet paper, next day.
Sometimes you can get it the same day.
Yes. Weird parts for my trailer. Seriously?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I needed to find this really weird water filter part for my trailer. Like, I burst it in the winter. And so I phoned my local RV dealership, and they wanted $75. And so I went on Amazon, $7.
Sounds about right.
I like it. Okay, so I know most of us use it for the free shipping, okay? It's typically 1 or 2 day free shipping. But you get so much more. There's a bunch of other benefits that you're probably not using, and we're going to tell you about them because they're worth the same amount of money a month just for those.
Yeah.
Alone.
Yep.
We are also going to talk about Facebook. When are they not in the news? Well, they're in trouble with the European Union, again. This time, it's about European citizens' data, Facebook users, being sent to the U.S. And so they've been fined $1.2 billion.
Billion.
The B. As Facebook calls it, couch change. It's under the couch in the reception area in Facebook. But we're going to tell you why this is important and why you should care. And we also have another story we're following as well. And not a story, sorry. It's a review. Mm-hmm. If you're into astronomy and portable telescopes, it's kind of mobile technology.
Yeah.
You have had a chance to check out. Have you got it yet?
I have.
It's called the Dwarf 2. This is a telescope. Imagine by the name, that means small.
It is itty bitty.
Itty bitty.
Yep.
Anyway, so I know you're a space and astronomer nut. So we're going to try to get an unbiased review from you on that. Let's talk about some of the app news, though. We alluded to this, I think, last week, and we thought it was going to be delayed. Password sharing, which they've cracked down on in Canada, Netflix, is now come to the U.S.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah. So when we last talked about it, it looked like it was going to be delayed a month or two.
Yeah.
But it's here, man. Our American cousins now cannot share their Netflix passwords with all their friends and family.
Well, they can. They just pay $7.99 for the pleasure for up to 2 accounts.
Yeah, $7.99 each.
Yes.
I'm going to be interested to see how that plays out down there. I think there's more competition down there. I think that consumer base is a little more attuned to kind of their spending.
Going to the best deal.
Yes.
Yes.
And the choices that they have.
Yeah.
I feel in Canada, we don't have as many choices, or we're forced to make choices.
And it feels like there are some choices that are kind of doubling up on others. Like Paramount Plus, it's sort of like, oh, I get some stuff here that I'm also getting with Crave, but I get more things with Crave. I'm not really sure where the line is delineated on these things.
Do you have Crave?
I do have Crave.
How much is that?
I pay for Crave in advance, and I think it was like $219 for the year.
It's a lot.
You know what? I watched that in Star Trek in like a month.
But Crave, it kind of bundles a few services that we don't get here, like a lot of HBO stuff, which is, they've rebranded to Max now.
Yeah.
Their streaming service down. Used to be HBO Max.
Now it's just Max.
Just Max.
That's
that's going to change the world. And like there's Paramount Plus stuff in there as well.
Yes.
And other. Yeah. I think there's Hulu stuff in there too.
Yeah. Now, I mean, it's interesting because the quality on Crave is okay. Like the visual quality, but like I said, I love my Star Trek. Strange New Worlds, I've watched 3 or 4 times.
It's coming out.
And I've got, well, the second season is coming out.
Yeah.
I've got the Blu-ray, the 4K Blu-ray on the way.
Of course you do.
I'm going to do a bit of a comparison because I'm curious to know
the quality?
How that compression is doing. I've never seen it in 4K, despite having a 4K.
So TV. You still have a Blu-ray player?
I have a PlayStation 5.
Okay. I wonder how many people are still, maybe enthusiasts like you, are still getting the discs. Like the Blu-ray discs.
I think folks who have like home theaters, like capital H, capital T home theaters.
Yeah, like that are really into it.
Dolby Atmos, you know, 7.4.2.
You've lost half the audience here.
Yeah. Like if you're walking into their house and they've got a marquee and a popcorn machine, they're probably buying discs. Everybody else, we'd be streaming.
So what you want to do is you're really into Star Trek.
Yes.
The new series. It's called
Strange New Worlds.
Yes. It's fantastic, by the way. Yeah. It's like old Star Trek, but kind of modernized, yeah. Right? And so you're going to compare the 4K, which is like the high, ultra high definition version that's streamed to like a physical copy, like on a disc, a Blu-ray disc.
Now, I don't think Crave is streaming in 4K. I think they're only streaming in HD.
Oh.
For a while there, they were only streaming at 720p.
Okay.
Which made my eyes bleed.
Yes.
So yes, I'm looking to see the quality difference. I mean, I've got a 75-inch screen that I sit roughly 8 feet away from, but as my eyes get older, I need to sit closer.
Okay, I think we've diverged from the main topic, Netflix, password sharing, crackdown in the U.S. now.
Yes.
So again, to my comment, what do you think? In Canada, they cracked down and everyone said they're going to cancel their Netflix account and it didn't happen. Subscriptions went up and they're getting more revenue because they're charging people for the extra users.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen in the United States? Do you think it's going to the same thing? Is Netflix still the big giant gorilla that people can't live without?
I think that here in Canada, we complain and then we don't do anything about things. In the US, I don't hear them complain as often. They just do things. So I'm worried that we're going to see sort of subscriptions on a drop off. I think that's the case.
You think?
I think. Like what are the big Netflix releases for summer that you're like, I got to watch this?
Right, I don't know.
Was this the best time for them to do it? Weird.
Well, maybe it was.
Yeah.
Because summertime, there is a drop off in television watching during the summer. There's no question, right? Because you're out and about and
touching grass.
Yes, hopefully, not sitting inside watching TV. So it's probably the best time because people just forget about it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Crafty.
Yes. I mean, if they did it in the fall, winter, I think that would be a bad move.
Yeah. But my thought there was like, if there's stuff that you want to see and Netflix is about to drop, you know, the new season of Daredevil or whatever, I guess it's over on Disney Plus, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've got no idea.
Okay. Let's move on to robot vacuums.
Yeah.
I love my Roombas. I've got a few of them cruising around the house. And I love them because they just do their stuff and they pick up an incredible amount of dust and dog hair. I got 3 little dogs roaming my house. I don't know why I have so many dogs. I've got to thank my daughter for one of those. But I can't tell you how surprised I am at like looking after a day of how much stuff they've picked up.
Yeah.
And I also, for overkill, I have one of those Dyson vacuums that have the lasers on the bottom now that will actually show you. It beams the laser onto the floor and you can see all the crap. It is horrific.
It's shaming you. I love this.
It is awful.
Human.
If my robots don't vacuum for a day, it looks like I live in like a pig pen. That's why I don't like that stupid Dyson thing for that.
The Dyson's the dark.
I mean, it's amazing. Don't get me wrong. Like it's one of those, you know, the wand.
Like the stick kind.
The stick kind.
I've got a 15-year-old Dyson DC62 that still works.
I don't even know what that is.
It's one of the very first stick kind.
Okay.
Yeah. I put a brand new battery in it. It runs for 20 minutes. It's
okay. So they have a new robot.
Yes.
And they say it's even better now.
Okay.
Well, why wouldn't they say it's better?
It doesn't lose suction.
Yeah. Okay. So they say it's 6 times the suction power. That's pretty good. I mean, Dyson's one of the leaders in vacuums. But I think Roomba has literally
vacuum circles around them.
Like, I think Dyson, and in fairness, I think more people still buy like stick vacuums than a robot vacuum.
Yeah. I mean, coming from a Dyson customer, I've never really been interested in the robot ones, but with 6 times the suction power, can this thing like go up walls?
Well, it can climb up to 21 millimeters, like nearly an inch.
Wow.
Okay. Because that's a problem sometimes. You're going over kind of bumpy terrain in the house, little.
This is not a sequel to Cliffhanger, but it's, you know.
It cleans up to the edge of walls and sharp corners.
Ooh.
It's got a 360 degrees, they call it a Viz Nav Cam, to kind of like scope out where it's going. It knows when places are clean, when they need to be cleaned.
This has got like Santa Claus technology.
It knows when you've been good or bad. So be good for goodness sake. Yeah, it looks amazing. I want to get my hands on one of these.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
But we'll have to wait and see.
We should ask Dyson to send one our way, and I will bring in my DC-62.
Okay, so
you can get this thing going.
Dude, this thing's not cheap.
Yeah.
Hit okay. Me. It's going to come in close to 2,000 Canadian.
One more time.
It's 1590 US.
Whew.
That is some robot.
Yep. Does it make coffee?
Not yet.
Will it call me back in the morning? Like, what's that?
No, it'll just vacuum for you.
Okay, fair enough.
But you know what? Sometimes that's enough. Yeah, okay, we're going to have to take a break. You are tuned into The App Show with Mike Agarbo, Gray Williams. When we come back, Facebook fined another $1.2 billion. We're going to tell you what it's all about and why you need to care. And a review on a new cool telescope. If you wanted to get into astronomy, this might be something you want to have a look at. Who doesn't want to look at the planets?
Yeah.
It's where we can escape to. And coming up next, you'll have to stay tuned because I know so many of you listeners have Amazon Prime, but there's a bunch of benefits you are not taking advantage of that you need to know about. You've tuned into The App Show. Back after this. You're back with The App Show. Mike Agarbo here with Gray Williams. We're two tech nerds, tech journalists. We've been doing this for 20 years plus, telling you all about the world of apps and mobile technology.
I started when I was 6.
Yes. You are 26 years old. Okay. Okay. We still have a lot to talk about. In a little bit, we'll talk about Facebook. They've been fined again at $1.2 billion, and it's all about users' private information being shuffled around the world. You'll want to stay tuned because you need to know about this story and why it's important.
Mm.
Also, we'll be doing a little review on a little telescope.
Yeah.
It's called the Dwarf 2. And Gray, my partner here today, is all about astronomy. Mm-hmm. And you're going to give us some facts about it. Yep. And you've had a chance to check it out.
An even tinier scope comes with it.
Love it. Okay, let's talk about Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Most people buy it to get the free shipping. It's $100-ish, $120 a year, and like a membership.
Yeah.
Like a Costco membership.
Yeah.
Kind of. But the advantage is you have access to like gazillions of products on Amazon.ca, and it's amazing. You want a new toothbrush? You can get it next day.
Yes. Yeah.
You want a new lawnmower? They'll ship it to you like within 1 to 2 days, and it's free shipping.
And you're looking at like maybe 10 purchases max to even out on that.
Okay. Okay. So you get a whole bunch of other benefits as well.
Yeah. Now, I knew there was Amazon Prime Video because I'm a huge fan of some of the science fiction stuff that they've been doing there.
Yes. So Amazon Prime Video is like Netflix.
Yeah.
And it's included.
Yeah.
I would pay the $100 a month or $100 a year just for Prime Video.
Exactly.
Because there's great content on there.
The Boys, Raised by Wolves.
Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
TV series.
Yep.
I'm watching that new series, The Power. Anyway, it is fantastic. So it's a streaming service just like Netflix. If you haven't loaded it onto your smart TV or your phone, your tablet, your computer, you got to do it. Another advantage of it is that you can also download those shows for offline viewing. Maybe you're going on a flight, going somewhere where you don't have an internet connection. You can load it onto your phone or tablet.
Yeah.
And take it with you.
Yeah, I did that with The Boys Season 3.
Yes. But it's good. It's not like a crappy streaming service. You know what I mean? Like these guys are spending billions of dollars on content.
Yeah.
They're in it to win it.
Big names making big content, big shows. It's good stuff.
There's also Amazon Prime Reading. And this is a whole bunch of free books you can download to your tablet or e-reader.
And so these are books that are currently selling.
Yeah.
And then basically because of this, you're getting this as almost like a subscription to that service.
Yeah.
I did not know this. I published a book on Amazon and I didn't know this.
How's that book doing?
I mean, it's been 11 years since I published it. Sales have slowed down. It's time for a sequel.
How much money do you make on that?
So it's currently selling for $12.99.
Yeah.
So I make $8.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not bad.
So how many would you sell a month now?
Oh, I'm down to like 3 or 4 copies a month.
Okay.
I've over 10,000 total.
It's time to get back to the keyboard.
Yes.
Yeah. But you got AI now, right?
Yes. Yeah. I could really just sort of throw the premise at it and say, ChatGPT, where do we go from here?
So anyway, prime reading. There's literally hundreds of different like romance novels, kids books, thrillers, and you can download them to any type of device. I mean, if you've got a Kindle e-reader, yes, but you can download them to your phone, to your tablet. I mean, it's good, right? It's free.
Yeah.
Well, it's not free. You got to pay for Amazon Prime, but it's a benefit you're probably not using. So another thing that you need to know about is Amazon Photos.
Pardon?
Amazon Photos.
Okay, that scans.
Okay. I mean, we're all taking gazillions of photos now on our smartphones, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think on my phone, I think I have like 28,000 photos.
Those are rookie numbers.
Yeah, so I know. There's Google Photos. There's Google Photos. Apple has iCloud storage.
Yes.
Which I keep having to bump up, do you know what I mean? To have more storage to save all my photos.
Yeah.
But if you're paranoid like me, because photos are important, yes. Right? Especially now that they're digital.
Could be gone in a heartbeat.
I always recommend having at least 2 or 3 places, you know, as a backup.
2 is 1, 1 is none.
So Amazon Photos, and get this, it's unlimited storage for your photos.
For real.
Full size.
For real.
For reals.
Huh.
And 5 gigabytes of video. That's where they'll get you. Because if you're taking a lot of, if you're taking a lot of video, then yes, you're gonna have to upgrade to get more storage. But if you want another place to store your photos,
yep.
It's part of your Prime membership.
Yeah.
You set it up and it just automatically updates.
I'm gonna do that.
You have to do it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And you know what I really love? I started using their Fire TV sticks now. Mm-hmm. I've been using Roku for a while, but I love the Fire TV stuff because it's just way more powerful than the Roku sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like they have better processing power in them so you can run apps and things like that. And so on my TV, it acts as a giant kind of photo display now.
Yeah.
And it just pulls all my photos and just kind of goes through them on my TV screen.
I need to find something that will filter out all the screenshots. That's it.
Do you know what? I tell you, it doesn't seem to pick up on those.
Okay.
Maybe it's just sure number of photos I have compared to screenshots, but I haven't seen any screenshots come on. I don't know if it knows. Maybe it does.
I think it does because the iPhone's got a screenshots album that lists all of them in there.
Yeah.
But I really wish, I'm hoping that for the next iPhone, they move the power button and the volume button slightly away from each other because every time I pick up my phone, I take a screenshot and it's driving me insane.
Okay, one more quick thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this works really well with the Fire TV sticks or a Fire TV. And this is Amazon's. When I talk about Fire TV, they've got smart boxes and TVs and even full televisions. And it's their smart TV interface. If you've got one of these Fire TV sticks, for example, or the Fire TV Cube or one of the TVs, they've got an app. It's called Luma. It's a cloud gaming service. So you can get a monthly subscription to have access to all the games. And there's a lot.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of free ones you can play. All you have to do, you can buy the Luma controller,
mm-hmm.
or you just use one of your Bluetooth controllers, like an Xbox or PlayStation controller.
Neat.
Yes. And you just kind of wirelessly hook it up, and you can play free games like Fortnite, which is one of the most popular games in the world.
All right.
And that's free. They have a whole bunch of games you can play for free.
Hmm.
It's amazing.
Is there a Luma app for mobile platforms?
I just know about Fire TV right now. I'll have to check into that.
Take a look, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to have to take a break. When we come back, Facebook shuffling people's private information across borders.
Shame.
Shame. We'll tell you all about it. You're listening to The App Show with Mike and Gray back after this. You are back with The App Show. Mike Eggerbo here with Gray Williams. So we still have a lot to talk about. In a bit, we'll do a telescope review. When have you heard that? Not often. But there's a lot of astronomy nerds out there. One of my friends from the old days, Lester, he lives out near me. I love him because he's got this telescope and he just posts these pictures of the moon and planets all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I just think that's so cool.
Yeah.
But you have a review of a really cool little one that you can basically take anywhere.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about Facebook. And when are we not talking about Facebook? They've been fined again. They've been slapped with a record $1.3 billion European Union fine over data privacy. And you need to know about this because it revolves around violating EU privacy laws by transferring personal data of Facebook users to servers in the United States. So this was actually covered by an agreement that they had between the two countries. Mm-hmm. Well, sorry, European Union is a whole bunch of countries yes. together. Yeah. But that was struck down back in 2020 by EU courts, basically saying that it was violating their citizens' privacy because that information is going over to U.S. servers and could be scanned by U.S. intelligence services. Mm-hmm. And so it's still happening, even though the courts in the EU said, no, stop. And so now they've slapped them with a $1.3 billion fine, and they've got literally 6 months to stop it and purge that data.
Something that should probably take a weekend.
Yeah. So Facebook, as you can imagine, they don't like it.
No.
Because their whole business revolves around that data. Mm-hmm. You are the product.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? All your information is how they make money. And they need that information to sell advertising.
Yeah.
And so they have threatened to pull out of out of Europe.
Ah, pip pip cheerio then.
Yeah, come on. Really, Facebook? You're going to pull out of Europe? You know, that is a load of crap. Like,
codswallop.
They're not going to do that in a million years because there's like over 300 million people. I think 350 million people in Europe.
Yeah.
Facebook, really? Is that the best you got?
I said the same thing about Britain as well, but you know how that went.
Yeah, you were wrong.
So I looked at it this way. Facebook can actually make good on this. You know? They can take a look at my lifetime value to them as a product, and they can split that income with me. If you're gonna toss my info around, Facebook, why don't you toss a little bit of cash my way? Your free service is not that interesting. The tainted opinions of weird people that I don't really want to talk to are not that interesting. What I would like is some cold hard cash on the barrel head. Mark, call me.
What do you think, though? You know what? I just find so crazy. Like, everyone's all over TikTok.
Yes.
For like, oh, the Chinese government's, you know, looking at that information.
And they are.
What, the U.S. government's looking at everybody's information.
They are.
What's the difference? Okay, sure. China's communist. I get it, right? United States, democracy. But they're breaking the law. Remember Edward Snowden basically yes. telling us that U.S. intelligence services were going through people's private information without permission?
Yes.
Illegally?
Yep.
Have they stopped that, Gray?
No.
No.
No, they haven't. You know who is stopping things, though? Who's actually standing up for us?
Europe.
Is the European Union.
Yeah.
GDPR is probably one of the best pieces of legislation ever written, and we are safer because of it. And so I'm saying, Facebook, pay that fine.
Yeah, what is that to them? So we talk about GDPR a lot. You'll probably hear it in the news. Mm-hmm. It stands for the General Data Protection Regulation. Mm-hmm. And this has been around for a number of years now, I think since 2018.
Yeah, the great privacy policying of 2018.
Yes. And it's good. Do you know what I mean? It basically forces all these companies to care about us and our privacy.
Whether we're in Europe or not.
Because the United States and Canada are doing nothing about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like they're 5 years behind, yeah. 10 years behind. And they're even farther behind because they probably wouldn't have done anything about it.
It does seem like our legislators don't seem to want to hold the feet of big tech to the fire at all. It seems to be sort of, you know, go ahead, we'll put some regulations in place. But it's almost like, you remember Jeffrey Rush, Captain Barbossa from Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah.
They're more like guidelines, really. That's what it feels like with big tech.
So, but how do you feel about it? Like, so you're a Canadian Facebook user.
Yes.
And this information is going on. Your information,
yep.
your habits, what you're reading in your newsfeed, mm-hmm. your messages
yes.
going to U.S. servers. How do you feel about it?
So here's the thing. If my privacy has been violated, here in Canada, we have legislation that will deal with that. PIPA, PIPEDA, and it can be $50,000 per offense. I'd be pretty ticked if that was happening here and if it is happening here. And also, I think I may have mentioned this earlier, I'd like a cut of the cash because it's my private information.
You're not getting a cut of the cash.
This is what we should do, though, right? Every time that these guys violate our privacy, every time that they screw something up, the fines go back to the people that were hurt. And that's us.
Yeah, but they wouldn't exist anymore because they couldn't afford it.
Maybe they stopped breaking the law.
Anyway, so they've been fined $1.2 billion, Facebook has, by the European Union. That being said, you know, a lot of analysts are saying it doesn't even matter because the US and EU are negotiating a new kind of privacy act to when it comes to data.
Yeah.
To kind of take over from the one that was previously struck down.
And if it does better for the end user, then this is a net benefit to everyone.
Anyway, for listeners, you need to know about this because when you are signing up for these services, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, you need to be aware of where that information is going. Where is it being stored? Is it on a Canadian server? Maybe. Most likely it's a US server. But, you know, that's been all the challenge with like TikTok and some of these Chinese apps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that information going overseas to less desirable governments?
I'm now using AI to feed bad data into all these apps. It's great. I have no idea who I am.
Sure. Sure. Okay. We are going to have to take another break here on the App Show. When we come back, we're talking telescopes. Okay. So not everyone's into telescopes, but Gray, when we come back, you're going to tell us why they should be.
Yes.
Because it's fun.
Yeah.
And you can see some amazing things in the night sky.
It's a whole new world out there.
And do it before Elon Musk fills the sky with satellites. You're listening to the App Show. We'll be back after this. You are back with the App Show. Mike Agarbo here. Got Gray Williams. Our show is all about the world of apps, mobile technology. And now we're going to talk about mobile telescopes.
Yeah.
Yes. Kind of weird.
So originally, Celestron had a really cool Starseeker scope.
Okay, Celestron's a big telescope manufacturer?
Yes, yeah. Okay. And so they're an American company, and they have an app for your smartphone, Android and Apple, that allows you to use your phone to do what's called plate solving, right? And plate solving is the process of pointing a telescope up at the sky.
Yeah, because it's hard to find these little stars and planets sometimes.
Exactly. It takes
because the Earth is moving.
The Earth's moving, and there's not that much light.
No.
Right? And so telescopes gather that light, make it easier for you to see things. But plate solving allows you to stack that light over and over again so it can say, this is where I am. This is what I'm looking at. I know where I am in the sky. So now with the Celestron, I can manually move, and the phone will actually point me towards what it is that I want to look at. So I can zoom in and like zero in on that.
So, but when you, okay. I had a telescope when I was a kid,
yeah.
And it was a challenge because, especially for things that were really far away,
yes,
they went like, okay, so say you found Jupiter, it would be out of the field of the scope within seconds.
Yes.
So a lot of these telescopes have motors that move as well, right?
That's correct. So that's where the new telescope that I've got comes in, the Dwarf Lab. So the Celestron...
Okay, keep going.
So this is the Dwarf Lab 2. The Celestron, it looks like a telescope, right?
How big is it?
Tube, oh gosh.
It's big.
It's big.
Yeah.
It's not a Dobsonian. It's not one of the big round ones. It's sort of a narrow cylinder.
Yeah.
Right. But the Dwarf Lab is this tiny little thing. It's about, I'd say probably like four iPads stacked together on top of each other.
Okay.
Right. Like a thick book. And so it's got a motor built into it. It's got a wide angle lens and a telephoto lens. And it has a smartphone app for Android and iOS. And so when you charge this thing up, you take it, you will actually, the first thing that you do if we're going to be doing astrophotography, because there's no eyepiece to look through here. Your phone is the eyepiece, and it is awesome.
The Dwarf, okay, so I'm just looking at this thing online.
Yeah.
It looks like an old camcorder.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's about the size of that?
Yeah.
And this is a telescope?
Yes.
How does it, okay.
So there are lens elements at a right angle to the telephoto lens there. The wide angle lens allows you to sight things in the sky. And then the telephoto lens will allow you to, again, plate solve. Now, this is not a great, this is a great telescope for looking at the sun. There are filters that come with it for looking at the sun.
Yes.
It's a great telescope for looking at the moon. And there's a filter for looking at the moon. And it shoots beautiful astrophotography.
And so when it shoots the photos, is it go right on the telescope or does it go to your phone?
It's going to the 64 gigabyte card
that
you will stick into the, and you'll get about 59 pictures on a 64 gigabyte card. Think about that for a second.
Okay. How do you get it off there? Do you have to take the card out or can you?
You can actually copy it over using your phone.
Okay. Wirelessly?
Wirelessly.
Yeah.
And they come in, I can't remember the format, but there is a stacking image format, which you can use with astrophotography software, or a TIFF file, which gives you a high quality image. I stacked 999 photos the other day. And you know what I saw? It's not great for other planets in the solar system, because the way that this works, you're looking for massive stellar phenomenon. So things like...
The sun?
the sun's quite big, but we're talking about things like nebulae.
Okay.
Right? So getting deep sky images, DSOs, the type of things that you see coming out of the Hubble telescope and things like that.
Okay. So when people take pictures of the Milky Way. Okay.
Yeah. And this thing will do this for you. Basically, you get some dark plates by taking photographs in the bag, so you get a dark image that it can then use to compare to these bright images that it's capturing, and it will stack these things in real time for you. And then you can also take those raw stacked images and go and do your own astrophotography stuff if you want to, or you can just get that TIFF file so you can share it on Facebook or other social networks.
Okay, so I mean, you'd have to be really into photography for the... astrophotography. Like, how much does this thing cost?
So I did a Kickstarter for this, and I think I paid $300.
Oh.
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. It is not expensive. Oh,
I'm looking online. It's like $600 now.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cheaper than I thought.
Yeah.
So this isn't for taking pictures of like the planets.
No. No. Here's the thing. If you had a Barlow lens, which is basically something that doubles the focal length of a telescope, which I've got.
Can you put it on this thing?
I've got I've been 3D printing a bracket that should make that work.
Okay.
And the autofocus on it's amazing. It also has that full stellar motor so that you can actually track things across the sky. This is a really cool piece of kit.
So I'm just reading here. I mean, yes, it's great for taking things in the sky, taking pictures of things in the sky. But apparently this is like for wildlife photography as well, for
absolutely
birds.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. It will do video. It will do pictures. It's kind of a bit of a lark. If you've got friends over, you can also take pictures of just like people hanging out.
This is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So not only can you take nature photos, but you can take the space photos.
Yes.
As well.
Yep. And so Dwarf Lab, great little device, comes with a tripod, comes with a battery. The deluxe kit has two batteries, comes with the memory card. It also came with a little surprise, the tiny scope.
What's a tiny scope?
It's a microscope for your cell phone.
Okay.
It's just a little clip-on that, and it works.
Yeah?
They've got an app. It's a charming little thing.
So what are you looking at?
So they've got some slides that they send with you of, you know, different types of food that are on there. But basically anything that you'd use to look at through a microscope. Jewelry.
And it works?
Yeah.
Not bad.
It comes for free.
Okay. We've been talking about the Dwarf 2 Smart Telescope used for taking pictures in the night sky. And if you're a wildlife photographer, you can kind of really zoom in on those little birds you're watching. We got a bit of time left, Gray. Apple, they've got their big worldwide developer conference coming up.
Dub dub.
June 5th?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of buzz around this event, because this might finally be the time when Apple unveils their mixed reality headset, like a virtual reality headset. And so this has been rumored for a while now.
Last five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the rumor mill is like on fire.
Yes.
Which it has been on fire before, and you know, like the Apple car.
Yeah.
There's no car. But what do you think? Do you think we're going to see a VR headset from Apple?
I'm going to roll the dice and say yes. I think we are. I'm sending all the positive energy out to the universe to say, bring me my Apple mixed reality headset at a price that is under $3,000, preferably around the $500 range. That's not happening.
No. I've been reading a lot of the analysts, you know,
yes,
rumor mill commentary.
Bill of materials.
They've kind of broken down how much they think this thing is going to cost. It's amazing how they can try to figure this out before it's even... really released.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how secret Apple can kind of keep this stuff as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, if it's up in the thousands of dollars, this isn't for regular folks. This be more of a creator or a business tool.
It depends on what it does, right? Like if Apple is getting into AR, VR, MR, XR, all the Rs, usually, like the reason there isn't a calculator app on the iPad is because they said they couldn't do something magical with it. Right, they were just blowing up the calculator app. So if
why you just do it? I need it. Yes, okay.
I'm with you. But if they're getting into the space, what have they figured out? Like, what's the turning point? Because that's usually when they jump in. They let other people kind of blaze a trail. They're like, uh-huh, yeah, cool. And they're like, great, here's Apple brand name for this thing. It is magical. And we're all like, yeah, actually, it is kind of magical. It's okay. Obvious, but...
So one of the things that it's rumored is to put the battery pack as a wearable, like on your belt, for example. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the challenges with the current headsets out there. Like I have Facebook's. Mm-hmm.
The Quest.
The Quest. It's big.
Yeah.
It's big.
And I've got the Bobo VR battery on the back, so it basically does feel like you're one of those drinking birds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the rumor is that Apple's going to be able to really minimize the overall bulk and size of the headset, which I think is vitally important.
Yeah.
And it's a mixed reality. So it's not only virtual, but it's going to, I guess, have some sort of cameras so you can see forward as well.
Yeah.
And interact with your environment.
So this is kind of an interesting thing. Your Apple Watch has one-handed gestures that you can use with just your fingers that on the hand that's wearing the watch that will let you control whether you open a message, reply to a message, right? You can use basically touching your fingers together to like scroll through lists.
But that's an accessibility feature, isn't it?
That's an accessibility feature. But if you think about it, if you've got a display on your eyes that is not touch sensitive, but you had an Apple Watch on your wrist, could these two things then work together in concert so that you're now actually manipulating things in virtual space using your actual hand.
Without another controller.
And without having to do that like gorilla arm thing with touchscreens where you're kind of like reaching up. You could just be doing this with your hand down by your side. This could be the thing.
Yeah, but you only have an Apple Watch on one hand.
For now.
It's a way to sell two Apple Watches.
I think like a cheap sensor band on the other hand would do it though.
Yeah, that's right? True.
It would communicate with all three.
Yeah.
And that would actually give you triangulation as well. I don't know what that would do for you, but it sounds cool.
You're an Apple nerd. You'd probably buy one of these.
Oh, heck yeah.
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 Yeah, it's interesting. I know typically whenever Apple gets into a space, they've taken their time and yes. They just dominate it.
Well, and they irritate the hell out of everyone else because they're like, it does this thing that we've given a name to. And everyone else is like, that's just called this. But it's cohesive. It's vertically integrated. It has diamond chamfered edges.
And it just works.
It just works.
I read an interesting story about the iPad. Mm-hmm. They were actually developing that before the phone.
Yes. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? But Steve Jobs decided that they should do the phone first and wait on the tablet.
And it's almost like it was harder to do, but the reward was so much greater.
Yeah.
And
that took vision.
Steve had those moments, right?
Yeah.
No keyboard. There it is. Glass screen. There it is.
Yeah, I wonder if they'd done the tablet first, things would be different.
They would.
Yeah.
Because it's just, so the iPhone having that edge in the App Store came from their leading edge with the phone. The tablet there would have seen Google change Android over to the same sort of thing, and they would have first mover advantage.
Yeah.
It would have been a very, very different world. There's a universe that they did that.
It's funny. I remember when the iPad came out, there were so many critics like, oh, this is stupid.
It's just a blown up iPhone.
It's a blown up iPhone. No one's going to use this thing. They made fun of the name, comparing it to female.
Sanitation products.
But I mean, it's the de facto tablet now. And no one's been able to touch it.
There is a tablet market and then there is an iPad market. The iPad market is much, much bigger.
So can they do the same thing for virtual reality or mixed reality headsets will be the big question. So we're gonna be tuned into that. That's happening the first week of June. They're gonna be announcing it. So that following show, we will be giving you all the details of it.
I'm excited.
I'm looking forward to it. Okay, that's all the time we have left. Don't forget to listen to our sister show. You can subscribe to the podcasts of both The App Show and Get Connected, our sister show. And we had a great program on Get Connected. We talked about upgrading your car with a CarPlay stereo, kind of bringing it into the future. We talked about the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel.
Mm.
And our tech life hacks for air fryers. Yes. I have my top five ones.
Tasty.
Things you aren't doing with your air fryer that you should be. I want to thank all the folks that helped put the show together, including Gray Williams for coming in today. We'll see you again next time.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.